Okay, we're in Hilchos Ishos, Parakeet Aleph in the Rambam. And this parak is actually a little bit of a challenge. There's some terminology we're going to come across that's new. It also deals with an area that, again, isn't really done much today, but is still important to know about. And it certainly presents certain challenges based on 21st century sense of morality, or it's a normal behavior, along with the nature of things like doing a bedika, checking a woman's status prior to being married, things of that nature. So as you'll see as you go through the parak, it's a little complex, but we should be able to get through it. And in the beginning, the Rambam is going to continue his discussion about ksuba with a few little variations. So in Halacha Aleph, he says, "Hanose besula shenis almana o shenis garsho nechletza." So basically, let's say a person marries a woman, okay, who is still considered a basula, okay, and prior to her change in status, meaning prior to having sexual relations, she either gets divorced or becomes a widow or does chalitza. So im min ha'erusin nis almana onis garsho nechletza ksuvasa masayim. So if after the kiddushin, but prior to nisuin, this happens, let's say she gets divorced, then in her second marriage, right, she would get a ksuba of masayim. She would be considered like a basula. Vim min ha'nisuin ksuva samea. But if it was from the time of nisuin and then she got married again, meaning let's say she got divorced and then after nisuin and then got married to a second guy, then the ksuba would only be 100. She'd be treated like someone who's a be'ula, not a basula. She mishanisei sarehi kiv'ula. Because once nisuin takes place, she's considered like as if she had sexual relations. So too, let's say a man marries a besula who, let's say, was shifcha kananis, who got freed, or she converts, or she's someone who was held captive by non-Jews and was freed. Im nishchara hashifcha v'nisgaira hagoya v'niftes hashvuya. Okay, let's say the shifcha was freed, or the woman converted, or the woman who was captured was released. Again, all these situations is a chashash of having sexual relations. So if she was 3 years and younger, then the ksuva she would get on marriage would be 200. But unfortunately, if she's over three, then the amount of the ksuba she would get would be 100, and she'd be treated as if a chazaka of someone who's a be'ula, not a besula. Now here's the question. Why did the Chachamim, because in these situations, right, she didn't technically have sexual relations yet. So why did the Chachamim say that she only gets a ksuba mea, even though technically speaking she's still a basula? The first thing is that there's an assumption that once their nisuin takes place, there's sexual relations. As well as, let's say, for example, a woman when she's not Jewish, okay, shetivol, that she had sexual relations, tiktulan mea, bein nivolu, bein lo nivolu, very hein kivulos the whole davar. Regardless of whether they had sexual relations or not, Chazal came up, midrabanan, they came up with a system, well, ksuba is drabanan, but anyway, they said across the board, we're just going to say that she's considered as a chazaka of having sexual relations, and therefore she'd only be entitled to 100, 100 zuz ksuba, and not to 200 zuz ksuba. Okay, halacha gimel. Okay, so this is going to deal with what's called mukas eitz, okay? Mukas eitz literally means where a woman makes a claim that the simanim that she has vaginally of being a virgin have been destroyed, okay? Literally, mukas eitz means that she, let's say, fell on a branch. So mukas eitz basically means where, what it called, where she's lost the simanim of being a basula, okay? And it literally, again, mukas eitz means that she claims that there was some sort of damage to her vaginally that caused a tear, and therefore the simanim that says that she's a virgin are gone. So a woman is a mukas eitz, ksuvasa mea. Okay, so that's it. She's out. She automatically, her ksuba would only be 100. Afilu nasas, nases amenashihi basula shlema. Okay, even if when she got married, her husband married her on condition that she's considered a basula shlema, a true basula, and it turns out she was mukas eitz, all she gets is 100 on the ksuba. Okay. Now, a katana mibas shloshanim lamata shenivola. Let's say a woman or a child 3 years or younger has sexual relations, afilu balei adam gadol, even if a person over the age of bar mitzvah has sexual relations with the 3-year-old, ksuvasa masayim, she still gets a ksuva of 200. Now, why? Sofa shetachzor besula kishar besulas. Okay, because ultimately, at the end of the day, the simanim of besula will grow back. Okay, that the tear will heal. It'll fill back in again, and she'll be like every other besula. Okay. So too, if there is a young man, okay, let's say he's 9 or younger, that has sexual relations with an older woman, okay, ksuvasa masayim, okay, she gets a ksuba of 200, ki'il lo nivola klal. It's as if she didn't have sexual relations at all, okay? So if a woman who's, let's say, in her 30s decides to have sexual relations with a young male under the age of 9, it's as if she didn't have sexual relations. Shabiyas ben teisha shanav yom echad, biyaso biya pachos yuzeh en biyaso biya. So halacha says that if you have sexual relations with a 9-year-old or older, it's considered an actual biya with, so to speak, an outcome. And when it comes to someone less than 9 years old, it's not considered an act of biya. Okay? All right, halacha dalet. Okay? Now, besula. Now, if you have a woman who's a besula, shehi bogeris, osuma, or islandis. Now, recall, bogeris is she's over the age, right? Suma means she's blind. Islandis means she's unable to have children. Okay? Ksuvasa masayim. She would get a ksuva of 200. Aval hachareshes. Okay? Which basically means that she's someone who's a, technically speaking, a deaf mute. Vashota, which, for lack of a better term, we'll define as mentally incompetent. Lo tiknu lahen chachamim ksuba. So Chachamim said that such a woman would not get any ksuba at all. Why? Hashota lo siknu la nisuin klal. Because when it comes to someone who's mentally incompetent, they don't want a mentally incompetent woman to get married. Vachareshes afa pi sheish la nisuin medivrayim. Okay. And when it comes to a woman who's a deaf mute, even though midirabanan there's such a thing as nisuin, lo tiknu la ksuba. Okay. They didn't decide, they decided not to go ahead and make a ksuba, kadeshul yimanu milises osa. Literally what that means is that it's going to sound, I'm going to try to say this carefully. Basically, there was a certain amount of sympathy that Chazal felt for a deaf mute woman. And in order to encourage a man to marry her, they dropped the ksuba. They figured by dropping the ksuba, that would create a situation of more of an encouragement for a man to marry her. Ukashem she'en la ksuba, okay, just like she doesn't have a ksuba, kach ein la mizonos, okay, velo tanai mitanai ksuba. So basically, he doesn't have to actually support her, okay? What do you call it? He doesn't have to do such a thing. Vim kanas hachereshes v'nis pacha, okay, now let's say he marries a woman who's a deaf mute, and let's assume it was a temporary deaf muteness, meaning she was able to be cured, cochlear implants, whatever it might be. Yesh la ksuba, tanai ksuba, ksuvasa mea. Then he must go ahead and write her ksuba. The ksuba would only be mea because they already had bia. But the point is that she would be entitled to ksuba. So if her status as a deaf mute is changed, or so to speak, cured, for lack of a better term, then he's chayiv to give her ksuba, but it's only of mea. Okay, halacha hey. Now, nasa chereshe soshote. Let's say he married a deaf mute or someone who's mentally incompetent. V'chasav lahen mea mana ksuvasan. Excuse me, mea mana. And let's say, what do you call it? He writes a ksuba of like $1,000,000, okay? Ksuvasan kayamis, right? The ksuba is a good ksuba. Mimnei shirotza lahazik nechasav, right? Because it's up to him if he wants to give up more of his own money. So even though the standard, let's say by shota, there's no ksuba at all. But if he wants to write her ksuba and promise her millions of dollars, he's allowed to do such a thing. It's his money, so he has the right to go ahead in that situation and do what he wants to do. Okay, halacha vav. Okay, now we're going to switch over to the male side. Cheresh oshote. Okay, so let's say you have a man who's a deaf mute or a man who is mentally incompetent. Shenasu nashim pikos, right? So he marries women, a woman who is mentally competent. Even if the deaf mute, let's say, is cured, okay, and he's no longer deaf mute, or or the mentally incompetent person also regains his senses, so to speak, okay, ultimately, they're under no, so to speak, obligation to their wives. So meaning that we treat them as if they were a cheresh shote, no matter what, even if they're cured. Ratzu lekaimon achar shehivriyu yeshlein ksuba mea. But now let's say they want to go ahead and remain married to the woman, okay? Meaning beforehand, right? Basically, the wedding's in is a question mark. Now let's say they want to stay with their wives, then yeshlein ksuba mea. So then the women would be entitled to a ksuba of 100. Then Bezdin, Hamshi Siu Acheresh. Now let's say Bezdin came along and they were the ones who went ahead and initiated this marriage of the deaf mute to the woman. The Chosvu Lok Suva on the Chosav. And they went ahead and they're sort of speaking, they're functioning as the proxy for the Cheresh. They went ahead and wrote a ksuba against his assets. The Chosav Notellus Kol Masha Chosvula Bezdin. Then whatever Bezdin said, she's entitled to. Avala Shoteb, when it comes to someone who is mentally incompetent, ain't Bezdin Masian Oso. Bezdin never want to arrange a marriage between a mentally incompetent male and a woman. So any situation where the halachas of the chachamim won't be able to be followed, okay, they didn't, and which we'll explain later on, they did not therefore go ahead and misakin the ability for him to get married. V'chein katan, okay, so too by a minor, lo tiknu lo chachamim nisuin, right? They don't want, okay, a katan to get married. Because better to wait until you're older to have a nisun gemurin, right? A complete nisun, so to speak, than deal with the issue of getting married when you're still a katan. But then what about for a woman? But why is it they go ahead and allowed or even misakin that a woman who's underage can go ahead and get married? Even though the nisun gemurin will take place when she's a gedola. Okay, so literally that means, hefker means lacking ownership. Basically, there was a concern that she'll be treated in a manner of like discarded. For instance, let's say a woman was divorced. There was a concern that in that situation, she won't be looked upon nicely. So they don't want that to happen. And if the situation would emerge that a katan wants to get married, they have to go ahead and actually check the simanon to make sure that he is physically mature. Okay, so they're shying away from these types of weddings as much as possible. Halacha zay, now katan afilu ben teisha shanam yom echad, shenasa isha. Now if a child is 9 years old and he marries a woman, ain laksuva, right? She doesn't get a ksuva. Okay, so if he goes ahead and older, okay, mature, right, exactly, then she gets the ikar ksuba, okay, which remember is always that is not the tanai, but the minimum amount, not the tosefes. V'chein gersh in his gayer, okay, this is also very interesting. Let's say a couple convert together. Hu ve'ishto ksuvaso manash almanas kein kayama. Right? So she gets the 100, okay? She gets a ksuba of 100 because you basically say that he wants to stay married to her. So if a man and a woman who are not Jewish convert together, he would have to provide for her a ksuba of 100 after conversion, okay? Okay, halacha ches. Now, kol besula sheksuvaso masayim yeshla tainas besulim. So this is the part that I was saying is a little trickier. So any woman who's a virgin, okay, she is entitled on her ksuba to have a ksuba of 200, okay? But in such a case, what that opens up the door for is what's called tainas besulim, which literally means the ability to make a claim, right, to challenge the status of her being a besula. Okay, so there's an idea in halacha of an ability to challenge her status of being a besula, okay? Now, to kind of set it up, to understand, I'm not here to defend it, rather just to understand the construct. In other words, there's a certain amount of money that the groom, the chassan, is pledging, so to speak, to the woman, that she gets no matter what. And there's a certain, there is some type of halachic transaction taking place where there's a certain das in mind by the chassan. As a result, tainus besulim comes to existence, in a sense, to protect the baal, to protect the husband. I know it sounds strange, but I think it's the right way to put it. But of course, if there's a ksuva mea, which is usually a situation where there's no besula, or a situation where the chachamim say there's no need for a ksuba, then tanis besulim doesn't exist. Okay, now, and that's a very important thing. if a man and a woman have yichud together, let's say you go to a modern day wedding, okay, and they kind of messed up the order and they did the yichud room, okay, before they did the act of kiddushin, okay, before nisuin, ein la tanis pesulim. Then there's no tanis pesulim at all. So if he has yichud with her, let's say in her father-in-law's house, there's no evidence they had sexual relations, but we say at that point in time, she's lost any claim, there's no claim anymore that can be made, of tainas pesulim. Right. Okay, so what is tainas pesulim? Halachates, what is this? Umahi tainas pesulim, what is the tainas pesulim? Zesh nasa isha, okay, so when a man marries a woman, shecheskasa shehi besula, okay, that there's a chazaka that she's a virgin. Vitoin, and he says, not so fast, Omer, lo mitzasiya besula, okay? And the man makes a claim and says, she said, I went into this thinking she was a besula, but guess what? It turns out, this is his claim, I did not find any evidence of her being a besula. Now, what is the evidence of her being a besula? Bushnei simanim hei lebesula. There are two signs, right, two simanim that exist to determine whether she's a besula. Ha'echa damim sheshosasim mimena besopi yirishona. So the first is the bleeding, which is all called dam besulim, the bleeding that takes place from her due to her first sexual encounter, okay, for first time having sexual relations. The hasheni, so that's what I would call external evidence. The hasheni hadochek sheyimsapa b'biyarishona b'shas tashmish. And the second simon is a certain, which we'd call the internal evidence, a certain tightness he feels during sexual relations with her the first time. So this is important to remember this. There are two simanim that Chazal work with in the claim for a woman being a basula. Now, again, not checking her, but meaning how would you know she's a basula post first time having sexual relations? One is there's evidence of dam basulim. And the second one is that from an experiential standpoint, the husband claims that it was a very, very tight sexual experience. And as a result, that would be considered a simon of basula. So, okay, now Lacha Yud. Now Hanosa, Lacha Yud. Now Hanosa Besula Sheksuvasa Masayim. So now let's apply this, okay? A man marries a woman, she's a Besula. The Ksuva is for 200 Zuz. Vitan, and he makes the claim, Amar Lo Mitzasiya Besula. So he says, listen, I'm challenging this, right? It turns out I gave her Ksuva 200. She was not a virgin. Sholan Osa, okay? So they ask her, okay? They ask her, Im Amris Emesu. Lomitzani Besula, Meshana Falti, Vikani Aitzer Karka, right? The Halchu Besuli. Harezu Ne'emenes Vitachzer Ksuvasa Lamana. Okay, so let's say she says, listen, he's right. He is 100% right. I was not a Besula. I lied, but I lost my Simani Besula because of an accident. Something happened to me, some sort of trauma, okay? We believe her claim, okay, which is good news, right? But her ksuva then is reduced to 100, okay? So we say that they're still able to stay married. We believe her claim that she wasn't a basula, but we don't have the chashash that she, let's say, slept with someone else. Afa pi shehu toin v'omer, and even if he goes ahead and says, one second, shema ish ba'alach, right? Ve'en lech klum. Even if the husband came along and said, not so fast, I'm concerned about this. I think that you slept with another man prior to our being married, and therefore I should be under no obligation to pay you anything, right? This marriage is a sham. That is too far. We don't listen to his claim, okay? We don't listen to his claim. However, but what he's allowed to do is, and we're going to get into the halachas of cherem down the road, and cherem stam, he can go ahead and have this type of cherem put in place, okay, which would happen to her, which is that her claim is she didn't sleep with another man, and if that were the case, then the cherem would kick in. So that's the only legal maneuver he has at that point, but the main point here is that his taina is not listened to. His claim is ignored. So if he's suspicious of her sleeping with someone else prior to their wedding, and she just says, no, listen, I lost my signs of besula because of an accident, we believe her. Okay, halach yud aleph. Now Amra, now let's say she says, MS Amar, Shalom Mitzani Basula. Again, going back to he made the claim she's not a Basula, and she says he's correct. Vish Baalai Ba'onis, right? But it turns out I was raped, okay? Achar shedisarasti lo. Right? And I was raped after the Kiddushin. Remember, today we do Kiddushin Nisuin next to each other. Let's assume the case was that she said, listen, we did the Kiddushin, I was usher to any man, and then we're going to get married in a month, and a week later, I was raped. Harezu ne menes. Okay, she's believed, and not only she believed, uksuvasa masayim kamo shahaisa. Then we say she's considered as if she's a basula. Okay, so we don't consider her being raped to destroy her status of being a basula. Now, v'emtan v'amar, but let's say he says, not so fast, shema ad shelo arastich nenes. Now, this is obviously a horrible thing to accuse her of, but let's say he says, listen, I think you were raped before the Kiddushin, okay? I acknowledge that you were raped, but it was before the Kiddushin, okay? And therefore, this transaction was a mechachtaos, was an incorrect transaction. It was a transaction based on false premises. Or achar sheru astich, right? Nivelas betzornech, or he challenges her claim of being raped altogether. And he says to her, no, you said you were raped after we were married, so to speak, after our kiddushin. That's not true. You went ahead and did it willingly. So we don't listen to his claim. His tanya is not accepted. But again, you can also create this cherem stam to go ahead and say, if it turns out there's a truth to the claim, he would get some type of, she would suffer some type of result, being put in cherem. And that's the one legal protection he might have.